This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
9:03 on this Saturday morning. Time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Mark Steeren, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing in Litchfield. By DC Waste and Recycling in Hillsboro. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. Huff & Son's Funeral Home in Hillsboro. By CTI Tech. Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. And by Garrell's Auto Body and Repair in Litchfield. And on this Saturday morning, we join WSMI's Tim Mize.
David Jenkins, thank you very much, and welcome to a snowy Sports Saturday here on the 12th day of January, and what was supposed to be a big day for high school basketball around the state. Instead, nothing is going to happen. Everything has been canceled. The Winchester Invitational has just officially been postponed today. They will pick that back up on Monday with the fifth-place semifinals at 5, Calhoun Camp Point Central, Jacksonville Route, Very Western at 6:30. Championship semifinal Monday night, Payson Seymour will face West Central. That game will be at 8 o'clock. Also, the North Green Lady Spartan Classic has been postponed today. They will pick that back up on Monday as well. Mohawk Classic in Morrisonville, postponed last night, postponed again today. So last night's games going to be played on the 16th of January. Today's games will be played on the 23rd of January. Those are the next two Wednesdays on the calendar for the Mohawk Classic. Obviously, the Macoupin County Tournament for years would tip off on this day, but as that tournament has gotten smaller, there was no opening Saturday scheduled at the Macoupin County Tournament this year, so that was a break for the folks involved with the Macoupin County Basketball Tournament, now in its 101st tournament. The Litchfield Invitational, though, has postponed all of their games today, and as a result, everything has gotten pushed back a day. So Nokomis will take on Mount Zion Monday at 6 o'clock in Simmons. That's a broadcast we'll have for you live on WSMI FM 106, online at WSMIRadio.com. We're happy to be joined on the phone right now by Nokomis head coach Steve Kimbrough. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning.
Well, quite the week for you, Coach. You picked up career win number 800 on Tuesday night at home against Edinburgh. And just talk a little bit about that moment. You got emotional talking to the crowd after the victory.
Something we've been looking, coming for a long time, and the opportunity to get to do it in front of the home crowd, that meant a lot to me to have those people there that have supported us throughout the year, supported me throughout the year, the team throughout this year. So, I'm kind of glad that, that's behind me now and we can look at doing some other things.
And Coach, when you've been doing it for 38 years, you mentioned a little bit last week, you have been touched by so many different people who have helped build this program. You get a lion's share of the credit, and rightfully so, because you've been the face of it for almost four decades. But you had a lot of help along the way.
Yeah, and like I say, maybe I'll get the credit, but the credit is distributed amongst all the people that, run the program from the lower levels on up. One of the things I've been real fortunate to have is consistency with the coaches. As a 38 years as a coach, I've had basically three assistant coaches, Vic Evans 1 year, Dan Clavin, and the rest of the time has been Brian Fisco. So, Brian's like the last 24 years, and Vic was like 14 years, and then my junior high, coaches that have been in there, 10, 14 years. So I think that's part of it too. And then we have a Mustang League program that gets these kids started, fifth grade and so on. So it's not necessarily what I do. I guess I get the benefit of all of it, but all their efforts, are what keep the program going and the consistency.
After that victory, as I was talking, I saw Alex Tosetti and Isaiah Bruder coming with the Gatorade bucket. I thought, oh, there's no way Coach Kimbrough is going to let him do that. And then you just stood there and you took it. And then you had the line of the night when you were talking to the fans after the game.
Well, I really thought it was confetti. I thought, there's no way it's going to happen. And then whenever they got it up there and got ready, I knew I just had to sit there and take it. So it was good for the kids, good thing for them. have the opportunity. Nothing got hurt on the floor, yeah. So, you know, I get a bath, I guess, every 38 years.
Yeah, because it's not every day you see a basketball coach get the Gatorade bath, but it really was such a neat moment that night. And obviously, your team this year is excellent, Steve. And I got to mention it because it happened. I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't. But you were actually suspended for the last game because of a situation that arose. But, man, it sure seems like your team took that personally and went out and played a great ball game against Vandalia that night.
Well, you know, I talked to them. This was a practice situation that, you know, we've done for several years. But, you know, not going to dwell on that. I thought the kids did respond well to it, and you know, we're starting to put the pieces of the puzzle together, and hope that we can continue to do that. We're going to find out, you know, next week with the Litchfield tournament, and then we're mixing in the Morrisville tournament, and I'm not sure exactly how the whole schedule is working out yet. You may know more than I know.
Well, I know you play on Monday at 6 against Mount Zion, Coach, and then you'll play Civic Memorial on Tuesday, both 6 o'clock games.
Okay, we didn't know. There was some talk that we might still be in the Wednesday bracket in Litchfield, which the Morrisonville tournament got moved to Wednesday. So sounds like we'll be playing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and based on what we do Monday, Tuesday, how we finish the Litchfield. And, it's going to be a busy couple weeks.
to say the least. And, hey, just for a moment, Brian Pisco, he likes to give me some grief every once in a while about something I said a number of years ago about how many points you were worth in a ball game. But, hey, he did a pretty good job the other night, 43-17 at half.
Yeah, you know, Brian knows as much about the game as I know. And, you know, we've been together for 24 years. So I wasn't worried about the boys getting the right supervision and him doing the right things. We catch each other finishing each other's sentences a lot of times on the bench.
And, you know, people maybe not don't appreciate the relationship between the head coach and his assistant coach is so critical.
Well, we come from similar program backgrounds. He played for Harlan Scheibel, you know, who ran the 1-2-2. So, you know, we understand each other, and the nice thing that we compliment that, you know, he really understands the perimeter game, the outside players, and I know better the inside players. So we can take those teams and break it down into our specialties and put it back together and make it work.
And you've got a heck of an inside player this year in Carter Sobel. He's been a starter for you ever since he was a freshman. But, Steve, where have you seen his biggest improvement from his sophomore year to his junior year now?
One of the things that, and we're still working on, is just his strength. He's so much stronger than he thinks he is. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of it's still got to come with a little maturity. He's a junior, but he's still the youngest kid in his class, I think. So, we've got to work on playing to his size. He's been in the weight room for a couple years now. And then the other thing that's got to happen is, you know, he basically was a holdover from last year's team. The rest of the kids, you know, coming in off of JV, and these guys are working out to play with each other still.
And one of those kids that's come up is Alex Tassetti, and he has really been critical for what you've done so far this year.
Alex really gives us a good perimeter game, and along with Mason Stewart and Trevor Wright. So, you know, these guys give us some outside shooting, and we've tried to tell them that, you know, we're kind of designed for as an inside club with Isaiah at 6'6". Down in there, and if we get them the ball, then that opens up their game on the outside. And those two things complement each other real well.
Well, they really do. And you've got that with that 1-2-2, you've got the length to really disrupt people with Sobel and Bruder. They are long and lanky.
Yeah, we've worked on our movement, our footwork, you know, getting in and out, and our perimeter, because a lot of people try to spread us out and create penetration lanes for their offense, and we've really tried to work on cutting down that, because, you know, once it gets by our first layer of defense, the second layer, and if it gets to the third, then we're in trouble. And that's been where teams that are pretty quick and so on have given us some problems, but it's something that we're constantly working on and we're getting better at.
See, I was getting ready to let you go here. Your first 4 years, very interesting. Your only three losing seasons came in your first 4 years, but the 1 year that wasn't a losing season, you went all the way to state. Do you ever look back now, all these years later, and think, boy, those first 4 years, that was interesting?
Well, you know, we knew that my second year as a coach, those kids had played for a couple years. Morey had played on the sophomores whenever he was the head coach. So, you know, they were seasoned, and I, you know, that's just one of those things that very fortunate that I can step in with that kind of talent and in 2 years get to a place that most coaches only dream to get to, and that was the Assembly Hall.
Yeah, just an awesome run that year, and you have just taken it to a whole other level here the last 38 years with this run of consistency at Nokomis. Coach, congratulations on number 800. Thank you for a few moments of your time, and good luck next week. I guess you're probably going to have a game every day, so that'll keep you busy.
Yeah, pretty much so.
All right, Coach Kimbrough, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Steve Kimbrough, the head coach of Nokomis, picked up career win number 800 earlier this year. His first win came back on December the 8th, 1981, against North Green, and then win number 800 on Tuesday against Edinburgh. I guess it was Tuesday of this week.
It's a lot of games.
And January 8th.
Yeah.
It's a lot of games. And he hasn't lost many of them, David.
No. No, and even some of those seasons where the win-loss record may be a bit underwhelming, those are likely the years they went deepest into the postseason.
Well, and there hasn't been many of those years, David. Three of the first 4 years mentioned losing seasons. None since. They did go 500 in 2003, 2004, 15, and 15, but 26 20-win seasons.
Yeah.
In 37
it
years,
like
they're headed to another 20.
They got off to, some of those got off to slow starts.
Well, remember, because they play in that stovetop stuffing classic where they face 3A and 4A competition. A lot of times
right.
They don't face a 1A school
right.
until January or, you know, mid-December.
The Litchfield tournament. Yeah.
And they are the great example of what happens when you schedule up.
Yeah.
You know, if you toughen up your schedule and challenge yourself, you will get better for it in the end. And Terry and I have always said, there is a reason that Nokomis is always the last 1A area team standing. They challenge themselves. Not many 1A schools are willing to go out, play 3A schools, play 4A schools, take some lumps. And there's been years when he's had some of his best teams. They beat those schools too.
Right. And as he said, this will be an interesting week for them because, as I said, last Wednesday's invitational was moved to this Wednesday
Correct.
For Morrisonville. So you said they'll play at Litchfield on Monday and Tuesday in pool play, Civic Memorial and Mount Zion, their opponents in those games. Wednesday, I don't know who they play, but they're playing in the
I think they play Carlinville.
Okay. And then they probably, well, depending on what happens Monday and Tuesday, Thursday may be their only off day. Thursday or Friday will be their only off day in terms of games. They'll hold a practice that day, and then they'll resume Saturday for the conclusion of the Litchfield Invitational. So only one practice day this week coming up.
Busy week.
Yeah.
But
the kids will love it.
Oh, absolutely.
You'd
games all
yeah,
day?
You'd much rather play games.
Day?
Yeah.
Sign me up, please.
Absolutely.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We're talking about the Litchfield Invitational. Obviously, the games for today postponed, and it wasn't just as simple as taking the Saturday games and putting them onto the snow day of Wednesday. All the schedule for the first 3 days of pool play got switched around. So we're going to talk to Drew Logan. Of course, he's one of the ADs at Litchfield. He's the head boys basketball coach of the Purple Panthers. We will come back and talk to Drew Logan about the Litchfield Invitational Tournament when Sports Saturday rolls on.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI FM 106, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
All right, David Jenkins, thank you so much, as we're going to turn our attention now to the Litchfield Invitational Tournament. Just a fantastic in-season boys tournament. You get the nice mix of some small schools, some big schools, some Central Illinois schools, some Metro East schools, and the action today has been postponed until Monday, obviously, due to the weather. So Monday's schedule now looks like this. 6 o'clock Monday at Simmons Gym, Nokomis will face Mount Zion. At 6 o'clock in the Panther Gym, Greenville will face Taylorville. Then at 7:30 in Simmons Gym, it will be Taylorville Varsity against Pena. The Taylorville JV will be playing Greenville at 6 in Panther Gym. And then at 7:30 in Panther Gym, Metro East Lutheran will face Lebanon. So that is the new opening day for the Litchfield Invitational. That will be on Monday. Tuesday's schedule looks like this. Nokomis CM at 6 in Simmons. Hillsboro Lebanon at 6 o'clock in Panther Gym. At 7:30 in Simmons, it will be Litchfield and the Taylorville JV. At 7:30, Pena and Roxana will play in Panther Gym. Then on Wednesday, which was supposed to be the snow day, which turned out very good, will be in play now. 6 o'clock, Hillsboro Metro East and Simmons. Also at 6 in Panther Gym, Taylorville and Roxana. At 7:30, Litchfield will face Greenville in Simmons. And then at 7:30 in Panther Gym, Civic Memorial will take on Mount Zion. And joining us now to talk all about it is athletic director and boys basketball coach at Litchfield High School, Drew Logan. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys.
Well, the snow day came in handy, didn't it?
Yeah, we can look at it that way. definitely threw a curveball. I think it's happened maybe, this might be the third time it's happened since I've been in Litchfield, but obviously now taking over some of the AD responsibilities, it added a little bit more work yesterday.
And when you're running a tournament like this, you have to think about so many different factors, and at the end of the day, it is just not worth the safety of the kids and the spectators to try to have anything going on today.
No, and we were kind of making the decision even for last night's game against North Mac, we had bumped that up to 4 to try to get it in, and that obviously didn't work out. And then as we're kind of looking at everything, we had some schools call and ask what timing it was as far as when we're going to make a decision. And honestly, we had really had thought about waiting until this morning to make a decision. And then as yesterday progressed, we kind of made the decision. We just easier to go ahead and do it and then get everything adjusted for next week.
And so I just made the assumption, okay, they'll probably just take Saturday's games, move them into Wednesday. But I guess with the Mohawk Classic being postponed as well, it wasn't as simple as that. So you had to kind of adjust all 3 days of pool play. Talk a little bit about it.
Yeah, well, to be honest, I actually called Ed Roundcount and spoke with him about what they had done in the past. And he said typically to kind of keep the tournament where the top seeds get their built-in day off, you have to bump your days back. If you just take Saturday to Wednesday, your top seeds are going to be playing back-to-back days. So, and then obviously with the Mohawk Classic and them also canceling, we wanted to try to accommodate Nokomis as much as we could. CM and Mount Zion were very gracious to basically say that, if we need to switch games and adjust days, we will. So we did. We had to move some things around. We had to move Taylorville's JV around. I initially messed that one up. And Coach Brown's like, hey, remember what we talked about? So I got the second schedule out. But yeah, there's a lot of moving parts and a lot of things you have to think about, especially when you're playing, two games and have games going on in both gyms. So.
And the beauty of this tournament is you start with the pool play, you move into bracketed play, and coaches seed basically every tournament now, but this tournament seems year in to year out to get seeded properly.
Yeah, I mean, it is, when you start, and I tell you, it's a nightmare sometimes to seed because just there's such good balance within the tournament, and you have, big school, small school, so you're trying to weigh, the big school schedules versus the small school schedules, and, you basically print everything out and set it in front of you and look at it. I mean, that's exactly, I do it every year, and it is. I mean, it always ends up seeded fairly accurate. I mean, it's, you're going to have your upsets, but, I think this year is another testament that I think it was seeded, fairly well. And I mean, after Taylorville is obviously right now the team that is the team to beat. But after that, I think there's a lot of teams that can really compete.
And I can't remember in years past. I know it's not every year there's a JV team, and I can't remember if there was last year or not. But talk a little bit about the addition of the JV team for Taylorville.
Yeah, we have not had a JV team since I have been in Litchfield. So this is my eighth year. There has not been a situation like that. We've had some turnover, obviously, with Alt Marquette used to be in the tournament, Columbia used to be in the tournament. We got in a situation where East Alton basically told us they were not coming this year. We had planned that they were going to get out at the end of their contract, so we have Father McGivney coming in next year. So we kind of left in a situation where do you reach out to a varsity team and just tell them it's a one-year deal? Not many teams are going to bite on that. Mm-hmm. So, I reached out to some of the coaches I know well, and Coach Brown at Taylorville was – excited at the idea. His team basically has that week off, so he thought, for the JV kids. So, he was excited. And, you know, obviously for a 3A team, for their JV team, they should be able to compete fairly well.
And as it works out, they're in your pool. So, Drew, how do you make sure that, because you guys are having a dynamite year, how do you make sure that your kids don't think, oh, we're playing a JV team, and kind of not mentally prepare themselves for that game?
Well, and it is. I spoke with Coach Cantrell from Greenville the day after all the seeding stuff came out, and both of us said the same thing. It's not an ideal situation. It's not, it's a lose-lose for us in our mind, because, I mean, if you lose to him, you lost to a JV team. If you beat him, well, you're supposed to beat him.
Yeah.
So, I try to explain, and we're not looking too far ahead, but now that's our game. That's something we will start talking about. But I tell the kids, I mean, it does not matter who you play. Any night, anything can happen, and we really try to focus on that. The good thing for us is we'll get to see them play a game before we play them, which is a benefit to us being the 5 seed, not the 4 seed.
And getting the 5 seed, that is a testament to your club, because coming into the year, Drew, outside of the program, I don't think there were really high expectations for you guys to do what you have done, but you have been off to just, it's not even a start now. I mean, we're into the middle part of the season, so you've just had a fantastic year up until this point. And has there been anything, not necessarily results, but has there been anything that has surprised you about your club, about the way they've gone about their business, about the way they've competed, just anything that kind of stands out to you here on the 12th of January?
I think the biggest thing that's been the difference compared to the last couple of years, and probably the thing that sticks out the most to the coaching staff, is, even though we're not always the most consistent. We saw that against Wood River. We really struggled for three quarters, to be perfectly honest with you. But they're finding ways to win games and finding ways to pull out games that maybe we wouldn't have pulled out the last couple of years. And it's, we saw that a little bit this summer. There was, we played probably around 20 varsity games this summer, and there was only one game we played all summer where we just, got our butts kicked. Every other game was competitive. Kids kept fighting till the end. And I think that's something that, I won't say it necessarily surprises me, but the ability to pull out games late with a group, to be honest, that in high school has not had much success. You say you got to learn how to win. And I think this group has figured out a way to win those close games at the end.
So the Litchfield Invitational will now have pool play Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And Drew, just tell us a little bit, price to get in, and I assume that admission covers both gyms.
Yeah, it is $5 for adults, and then $4 for seniors, $3 for students. It covers both gyms. For people that have been, they know the quality of basketball that's there. It's a great tournament. It's, obviously not having that break in the middle of it. It's going to make for a long week, but I've got a lot of great people that are helping make sure this thing goes off and make sure that we provide the product that we've always provided. So, when it falls on your plate, as being the person that runs it, you want to make sure you're holding the standard that's been there for 51 years. So,
and you will do a fantastic job. I have no doubt about that. Drew Logan, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, and best of luck next week, not just competing with your team, but hosting the event. And we'll see you next week at Litchfield.
All right. Thank you.
Drew Logan, the head coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers, also the boys athletic director. And he's right. That will be a hectic week with no off day now, as today's games will be played on the snow day Wednesday, although not exactly today's games.
How about the bit of breaking news he dropped? Father McGivney joining the tournament here.
Do we have we need like a breaking news ticker.
We do. We do. I don't have that handy right here, but we'll have to do that.
Yeah.
That's a good ad. I don't know how good their program is right now, but we've heard.
To go Big Lebowski on you. Phone's ringing, dude.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's just life at the radio station here in a day. We got cancellations coming in fast and furious. We got an updated list for you at WQSMIRadio.com, as there is not much going on across mid-Illinois today, whether it's sports or just other activities. A lot of different things are getting canceled, and the list that we have is at WQSMIRadio.com. And what's not on the website, David will be running down for us here in just a few moments. But the Litchfield Invitational will be Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday now, with pool play. And obviously, this has altered our broadcast schedule for next week. We're going to have coverage from Litchfield. We're going to have coverage from the Macoupin County Tournament at Mount Olive. It's all just kind of pending right now. We're going to have games. It looks like every night of the week coming up next week here on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI FM 106. Always streaming online at WSMIRadio.com, and you can always find our high school broadcasts online as well in podcast form at WSMIRadio.com. We're going to shift gears now and talk some baseball. You know, on a snowy day like this, let's talk some baseball. Let's get warmed up, ready for some baseball. Of course, spring training for the Cardinals coming up. I think their first game is February the 23rd. But one of the premier baseball clinics in the entire country is held right in our backyard at Greenville High School. It's the I-70 Baseball Coaches Clinic. It comes up January 20th and 21st. That's a Sunday and a Monday. And joining us right now is Greenville Athletic Director Joe Allstad. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, good morning, Tim. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thanks for joining us. And this is a fantastic clinic that you put on, the I-70 Baseball Coaches Clinic. And it's getting here quickly.
Yeah, next weekend. It comes in a hurry after the new year. You're right. But it's our 16th year, and it's really grown here the last few years. We're really excited. We've got 300 coaches right now registered from 10 different states, which is the most we've ever had statewise. And, you know, the last week you always get a bunch of people coming at the last minute. So we expect our number to jump again this week, and we're ready for Sunday night and Monday of next week.
10 different states. That is a testament to the type of clinic you put on. And if you want to know more about it, I-70 Clinic on Twitter is a great way to keep up. But I see a lot of different coaches, Joe, talk about this is the premier clinic. This is the best clinic. If you want to know anything about how to improve your club, anything about baseball, this is the place to go. And as someone who's involved in organizing it, when you hear coaches from around the country who have attended your event speak of it so highly, that has to put a smile on your face.
Well, it's certainly proud of what we've done. It's been a lot of hard work and a lot of time, and a lot of people have helped to make it what it is today. It's certainly not a one-man show, but this year we've got four coaches coming from pro teams, from professional organizations that have paid to come, the Astros, the Brewers, the Cardinals, and the Tampa Bay Rays. We got a guy flying in from Florida, a guy flying in from Arizona, just to come to hear our speakers at the clinic. So, you know, 16 years ago, Tim, I'd be lying if I said I thought we would ever get to this point. I really wasn't in my horizon or even in our goals. But it certainly has turned into that, and, you know, we've established a pretty good reputation, I think, among coaches of all levels, from youth all the way to professional ranks, and people in the baseball world have heard of and know of the I-70 clinic. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just something that's grown over time. There's no other way to put it. It's not a secret. It took hard work, and word of mouth really helps.
And you hit on it there, but it's exactly right. Whether you're coaching Little League, junior high, high school, college, everybody benefits from the speakers and the lessons that are taught at this clinic.
Well, that's true. And we make no secret. The majority of our audience are high school coaches. Mm-hmm. There's no secret to that. And that is true. But we always try to tell our speakers that you're going to have a variety of coaches here. You're going to have the 8U, 9U, 10U coach who is just beginning with his kids or a college Division I coach who's here. From a couple states away or now at the professional rank. So, but anybody that comes will be able to take something home to their program. That's really our ultimate goal, for a coach to attend and be able to get several ideas or drills or ways to teach things that maybe they didn't know before, something they can take back to their program and to their kids and make them better. That's the whole idea, obviously.
The Cardinals are involved with you in this endeavor. You had Tony La Russa speak a number of years ago, and you got the current skipper coming in this year. Just talk a little bit about the process of getting involved with the Cardinals and then getting their current manager on the speaking list.
Yeah, so the Cardinals became our prime number one cover sponsor probably about 4 or 5 years ago, which has really helped with our budget to bring in some bigger name speakers. So that we can't overlook that. There's a big reason why we're able to get the guys we're able to get. It's because we've got great sponsors like the Cardinals to help assist with that. They benefit by hopefully amateur teams playing games at Busch Stadium, and they have had a spike in that, and they attribute that to our clinic. That's why they keep coming back. So we're very, very happy to partner with them. As far as with Mike Schilt, it's kind of funny. Every speaker that you get, there's kind of a different story on how you get them. I was watching right after he took over as an interim manager in July, I believe it was, I just guessed his email address. I just shot him an email and just told him about our clinic. And 24 hours later, he replied to me, "I'd love to do it. I just don't know what my future holds. You know, I'm an interim guy. I don't know where I'm going to be." And I replied back. I said, "Mike, here's the deal. If the Cardinals keep you, you know, you're going to be in town that weekend for the winter warm-up anyway. If they don't, we'd love to fly you in from North Carolina and take care of you that way. We want you no matter what you're doing." Schilt's got an interesting background. He's been a high school coach. He's been a college coach, been a minor league manager, major league manager. So he really appeals to a lot of coaches in our audience and will talk right at their level. And I've spoken to him on the phone a few times, texted him a couple times. Just a great guy, just like you and I, just a normal dude who wants to talk ball. Obviously, he is a good get. We're really excited to bring him in. He'll be our fifth major league manager that we've had speak on our stage, which is really, really cool. And we're hopeful that, you know, that maybe we can make it somewhat regular with him. I mean, he's just a baseball guy who wants to help coaches and talk with coaches, and he's going to be a good one.
And when you hear him talk, like at his post-game conferences, you're exactly right. He's so relatable. He has an ability to talk about the game in a complicated way, but yet make it sound straightforward and simple.
Yeah, he's very, very insightful, and you're right. I love listening to his post-game interviews and reading his comments and reading articles about him, because he just opens up. He'll tell you what he's thinking, why he did that, why he wanted that, is what he's thinking on personnel. Just very open, very fluid, a good communicator. And we expect more of the same at our clinic on Monday when he comes to speak.
Will he be speaking at one session Monday?
Yeah, with one session. I pretty much told him, you know, because they have the baseball writer's dinner on Sunday night. I said, "You can come Monday." I said, "You tell me what time you want to speak, and we'll put everybody else around you."
Nice.
So he said, "How about whatever it was, 10:35, I think, is when he goes on Monday." So he's obviously garnered a lot of interest among the other coaches, but our whole lineup is really, really packed with really big-time speakers.
We got Mike Martin. He's the Florida State head coach, the winningest D1 coach in history. You got current Cincinnati Reds pitching coach Derek Johnson, and then Kai Correa, who's with the Cleveland Indians organization. I guess just run down for us when they will be speaking.
Okay, so on Sunday we have four sessions Sunday evening starting at 5 o'clock. Mike Martin is speaking first. He's our leadoff guy. And like you said, he'll go over 2,000 wins. This is his final season at Florida State. And I read something on Twitter just yesterday that Mike Martin's worst season at Florida State, his worst season, they won 40 games and won the regional. That's his worst season. So I think any coach would take that
That's
as the worst
good.
Season. But, I think he's been to the College World Series 16 times. Just unbelievable career. And he's actually going to speak 5 o'clock for us, and then he's going to partner with the Greenville First Christian Church, and he's going to speak at the men's steak dinner that they have there. So
awesome.
we're going to tag team with them a little bit, and he'll go speak at that afterwards. So if anybody's interested in coming to hear him at the men's steak dinner at the First Christian Church in Greenville, they can give them a call. But Mike Martin speaking, and we're going to have Kai Correa, like you said, the infield guy with the Indians. He's going to speak twice on Sunday evening. And really the big guy that nobody knows about is Jason Ochart. He's a hitting guy with Driveline, and he actually just picked up a job with the Phillies as their hitting coordinator. But he's a big reason why we have so many pro guys coming in to listen to. He's a up-and-coming, data-driven hitting coach, and he's going to be really good. He's going to speak on Sunday, and then he's going to come back around and speak again on Monday. So I think he's a big reason why we've got people coming from all over. He's just really, really well known now, and data driven, analytic driven hitting is where the profession's going. Mm-hmm. People want to learn more about it. So then turn around on Monday, Mike Martin starts it off again. Then we'll have Ochart speaks again, and then Mike Schilt. Then we have lunch, and then after lunch, Derek Johnson speaks back to back. And for my money, he's one of the best pitching coaches in the country. He's at the Brewers the last 3 years. The Reds gave him an offer he couldn't refuse, so he jumped to Cincinnati. But he was the first guy to really go from college to the pros. You know, he was Vanderbilt's longtime pitching coach, and the Cubs made him an offer to be their pitching coordinator, and he kind of paved the way. Now it's pretty common for college coaches to go into the pro ball ranks, which, you know, 10 years ago was unheard of. So he kind of was the pioneer with that. So he's been here before. He spoke here about 10 years ago when he was with Vandy, and he's just a really good guy. And we're happy to bring him back for sure.
Fantastic lineup. And I guess I'm just curious, how far out in advance do you work on this? Like, I'm sure you have guys for next year in mind. Do you have speakers? Not that you have to tell us who they are necessarily,
sure.
But do you have people officially lined up to go next year?
Not officially. I have reached out to two different guys and haven't gotten a yes or a no yet. Obviously, 12 months away. People don't really plan that far ahead. But
right.
But as far as this clinic, planning this clinic has kind of turned into more of a 12-month mm-hmm. gig. You know, you're doing stuff all the time. And I do try to get a couple speakers early and then finish it up in the summertime. But, yeah, we're excited about what the future may hold for our clinic for sure.
You mentioned a little bit earlier about your association with the Cardinals and how mm-hmm. there's more high school games at Busch Stadium. The Greenville Comets have played a game at Busch Stadium, it seems like, every year for a while now. And you've got another one coming up this summer, June 22nd. And, oh, by the way, it's the same weekend that some guy named Pujols is going to be back for the first time. That's awesome.
Yeah, the Cardinals ask you for dates that will work. So you give them a list of dates, but you really don't know what they're going to select for you. And they picked a game, like you said, Saturday 22nd in June. And, you look at the calendar. Okay, we're playing the Angels. All right, that could be a pretty hot ticket. with Pujols and Trout and Goldschmidt, and that could be a pretty good ticket to have. So, I think this will be our seventh year, Tim, of playing there at Busch Stadium. And what a great memory for our kids.
Oh, goodness.
And we've had so much good feedback. It does take – you have to sell 900 tickets to play there. But we're hopeful for with this good draw, the good game we have. We're playing Carlisle County, maybe, from Kentucky, a team we've never heard of. So that'll be kind of cool to see somebody different. And we're excited about that for sure.
Joel, that has to be neat for you and Hutch and the entire coaching staff. Now that you guys have done it for a number of years, but year seven, the kids who are going to be playing, obviously, have never done it. So it's got to be kind of really neat. You know what to expect. Hutch knows what to expect. But you're taking a group of teenagers who has no idea what to expect.
Yeah, I know how big of a thrill it is for me, even at 42 years old, going to walk on the field at Busch Stadium and be able to coach a high school game there. I can't imagine what it's like to play there. You know, I've never had that chance when I was a player, but have as a coach for the last six or seven. And, man, it's just so cool. They use the video board. John Hewitt stays and announces the game, and they show replays. I mean, it is just a great experience for me, but I can't imagine how cool it is for the players. I know they talk about it all the time, but it's got to be a lifelong memory for them. And certainly as high school coaches, you want to create those for your kids. And I think this is a great avenue to do that.
No doubt. Has anybody ever taken it out of Busch Stadium?
I think it's been done, but it hasn't been done when we've played there.
Yeah. That's a long way.
That's a pretty good poke. That's a pretty good poke, yeah.
Joe Allstott, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, sir. The I-70 Baseball Coaches Clinic coming up January 20th and 21st next weekend. And I know it'll be a fantastic success, sir. Congratulations on what you've created there.
Well, thank you. And if anybody out there is interested, you can go to our website and find out how to register. And you can register online. Our website's i70clinic.com, i70clinic.com. It'll give you all the information you need.
That's pretty easy.
Great, yeah.
All right.
Thank you, Tim. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you very much. Joe Allstott, the athletic director at Greenville High School. Just a phenomenal clinic. The 16th year they've had the I-70 Baseball Coaches Clinic. And if you like baseball, you got to go. I mean, right? This is a clinic, David. It could be in Texas. It could be in Florida. It could be in California. No. Greenville, Illinois, our backyard.
Elite-level names, too.
High-level stuff.
Quite the list they have going there. So.
Yeah, just a phenomenal clinic. So if you haven't got yourself registered, do it now. There's still time. And as you heard Joe say, 10 different states going to be represented this year at the I-70 Baseball Coaches Clinic. We need a break. Sports Saturday rolls on in just a moment.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
David Jenkins, thank you very much. Back here on Sports Saturday, thanks so much to our guests today for joining us. Nokomis head coach Steve Kimbrough, Drew Logan talking about the Litchfield Invitational, and then Joe Allstott talking about the I-70 Baseball Coaches Clinic. That will be the 20th and 21st at Greenville High School. And, of course, next week is going to be extremely jam-packed for high school basketball tournaments. The Litchfield Invitational will begin on Monday. The Macoupin County Basketball Tournament will begin on Monday. That's at Mount Olive this year. Monday night will be the girls' quarter final night. Macoupin County back to brackets this year. So on the girls' side, Carlinville's the top seed. They have a bye into the semifinals. They will get the winner between Monday's winner, Gillespie, and North Mac. That game will be at 7:30. Southwestern, the 2 seed, they have a bye into the semifinals as well. They will get the winner of Monday's first game, which will tip at 6, as Staunton Mount Olive Co-op will take on Bunker Hill. In the boys' bracket, the quarterfinal games will be played on Tuesday night. Carlinville Gillespie's the 4-5 matchup. That will be at 8 o'clock. The winner gets top-seeded North Mac on Thursday. They are the top seed. And then in the bottom half of the bracket, at 5 o'clock Tuesday, Staunton against Mount Olive, the Bulldogs the 2, the Wildcats the 7. 6:30 on Tuesday has Southwestern the 3 facing the 6-seeded Bunker Hill Minutemen. That game will tip at 6:30, the 101st Macoupin County Basketball Tournament at Mount Olive High School this year. Mentioned the Litchfield Invitational. That will begin on Monday with pool play. Nokomis takes on Mount Zion and Simmons at 6. That's a broadcast we'll have live on WQSMI FM 106. And Panther Gym on Monday at 6. Greenville faces Taylorville's JV. Then at 7:30 in Simmons, top-seeded Taylorville will face number 9, Pena. And then in Panther Gym at 7:30, Metro East Lutheran will take on Lebanon. And that will be the first day of the Litchfield Invitational. The Highland Girls Tournament was supposed to start today. It got postponed along with everything else. So now the opening round games for Highland will be played Monday and Tuesday. Hillsboro will play on Tuesday night at 5:30. They will take on Belleville West. So the Toppers will play 4A Belleville West. Hillsboro's yet to lose to a 2A school this year as they sit at 19-3. The tournament starts Monday, CM against Salem Civic Memorial, obviously a powerful team this year. They will play at 4 at 5:30 Monday, Nashville and Belleville Altoff. At 7 o'clock, T-Town takes on Okawville, and then at 8:30 Monday night, Taylorville against O'Fallon. Tuesday afternoon at 4, it'll be Highland and Carlisle, Hillsboro and Belleville West at 5:30. Belleville East takes on Breeze Central at 7, and then at 8:30 Tuesday night, Breeze Modern Day will face Triad in the opening round of the 33rd annual Highland Girls Tournament. The North Green Lady Spartan Classic, that was canceled for today. Also, the Effingham Tournament postponed until next Saturday. As far as high school wrestling goes, the Wood River Super Duels scheduled for today have been rescheduled for Tuesday. That will include Hillsboro, Wood River, Redbud, and Metro East Lutheran. And then the wrestling match between Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Pittsfield, which was to be at Carlinville yesterday, that has been rescheduled coming up for Friday, and I do believe that will be senior night for the Cavaliers, so get out to Carlinville and support the Carlinville wrestlers as they take on Hillsboro and Pittsfield. That match now rescheduled for Friday, the 18th of January. So the weather definitely got in the way, put a hitch in a lot of the plans, but this is why you schedule snow days for tournaments. And there's always a kind of a running joke around the station that no matter what the weather has done, when you get to Macoupin County Week, Litchfield Invitational Week, there's going to be some sort of massive weather event. And a week ago, it looked, oh, it's not going to happen this year. Oh, no. It happened. It just so happened that Mother Nature didn't get the memo that the Macoupin County Tournament wasn't scheduled to play today, David. Otherwise, this event probably would have come on Monday or Tuesday.
It's not Mother Nature's fault. It's trying to get here before the tournament.
Ooh, I like the way you think there.
Yeah, they were trying to do it before the tournament.
They're doing everybody a favor.
Yeah. We'll hit you before the tournament. Oh, you bumped it up. Okay, well, I'm sorry. I already scheduled it.
That's right. It's already in the works.
Yeah.
So it'll be a fun week of basketball next week. We'll get our broadcast schedule finalized next week, but we're going to have all sorts of games, and the teams involved in these tournaments are going to be very busy, especially Nokomis. They're going to play in two different tournaments in 1 week. That doesn't happen very often. They will play in the Litchfield Invitational Monday and Tuesday, the Mohawk Classic on Wednesday, and then they'll be in the bracket and play the back half of next week at the Litchfield Invitational. Again, congratulations to head coach Steve Kimbrough. Picked up career win number 800 earlier this week. It was an awesome scene. We had the broadcast on FM 106. You can find it on our website right now, WSMIRadio.com. We carried the post-game ceremony as well. And, David, I loved it. I thought it was confetti.
Nope.
It was not.
That's a
confetti.
Unpleasant surprise.
Yes, it is. Hello.
Oh, this is wet.
This is a wet confetti you have here.
It's awfully wet and sticky.
Mentioned the Mohawk Classic. Last night's games will be played on the 16th, and then the games that were supposed to be today will be played on the 23rd. So that'll be the next two Wednesdays on the calendar, the Mohawk Classic. All those games will be played in Morrisonville. Nokomis is unbeaten in the tournament thus far. They've got Carlinville and Lincolnwood left. So if they can win both those games, they will win the Mohawk Classic once again. So that's kind of how the high school basketball schedule is shaping up. Big tournament week with Macoupin County, Litchfield Invitational, and the Highland Girls Tournament. Those are the three major ones that we will have our eyes on here at WSMI FM 106. We will have Fighting Illini basketball coming up next week sometime. They play Minnesota Thursday, is that right? I think it's Thursday. They hung tough with number 2 Michigan the other night. Just
doesn't count. They've hung tough on just about everybody.
It's true, David.
Wednesday.
Wednesday night. Okay, 7 o'clock?
7 o'clock. Wednesday on the Ox. Okay. Minnesota. Yeah.
That's what is frustrating about the Illini this year.
It's another winnable game.
Another winnable game. They've had a number of those. You can go all the way back to Hawaii during the Maui Invitational where they had a chance to beat Gonzaga. Couldn't get it done.
Before that, when they lost to Georgetown.
Yeah. I mean, they've played a tough schedule, so you give them credit for that. But when you're losing all the games, it doesn't really matter how tough the schedule is. You got to find a way to win them, and they just seemingly consistently make the same type of mistakes. And the game on Sunday against Northwestern infuriated me to no end because I called this in real time, so this isn't second guessing. After Northwestern took the lead, they inbound the ball to Trent Frazier, your best player.
Second best. Or are you talking about Frazier, your best player?
Yeah.
No, I'd say second best.
Who's better?
Iodasunmu.
Iodasunmu will be better. But Trent Frazier is their leader and has been their best
player. I'm not going to argue. Leader, but I think Dasunmu is the better player.
I'm not necessarily going to argue with that. Okay. But Trent Frazier is in the open floor, defense in a backpedal, midcourt, and Underwood calls a timeout. And I said at the time, why is he calling timeout? You've got transition. You've got the defense in a backpedal. You call timeout. Now the defense gets to set up. And I said, he's going to set up a play that's not going to work. He's going to set up a terrible play. And what happens? They get off a joke of a shot. A joke of a shot. Desperation three. You got your best player, open floor, transition.
Well,
let him go.
Wait a second. That happened before because I think they got a shot clock violation after that timeout.
No, this is right after Northwestern hit the three to take the two-point lead. You're down two, just a few seconds left. You inbound the ball. Frazier's racing up the sideline, and you call timeout. Inexplicable. You did the defense a favor because basketball anymore is such a transition game. You know, when you can get out into transition, you have a distinct advantage.
Well, didn't he do the defense a favor before that, calling the timeout with the lead and the ball? And then out of the timeout, they got the shot clock violation. Because there was like 35 or something. There's less than a minute left in the game. You're up by one, and you have the ball, and then you call a timeout, set up a play, and then right out of the timeout, shot clock violation.
Yeah.
That's inexcusable.
It's inexcusable. And they make the same mistakes all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. There's no adjustments. You know, I think it's 8 of the games now that they've lost. They've had the lead in the second half. Eight of their 12 losses now they've had the lead in the second half.
Yeah.
And you win none of them?
You win half of those, you're in the tournament conversation.
With the schedule they played, probably so.
Yeah. Well, because you're over 500 if you win half of those. You've lost half of your losses if you win. You've been in every loss so far this season.
They haven't gotten blown out.
Right. You win half of those games. They've got 12 losses. You win half of those games. That's six wins right there. You go from 4-12 to 10-6 all of a sudden.
That's difference. In
the tournament conversation
right. The Florida Atlantic loss is the only bad loss. You can't lose that game. That's unacceptable and inexcusable. You can never lose that game if you're Illinois. But they found a way to do it.
They did.
They haven't gotten blown out.
Don't question the Illini's losing ability.
That's right. They find new and exciting ways to do it. What is it? They snatch defeat from the jaws of victory on a regular basis.
That's right. I do want to pose this to you on the air while we have a few seconds left. We've talked about this off the air. What happens first, Illini football team in a bowl game or the Illini basketball team in the tournament?
At this point, how can you not say the football team in a bowl game? They're trending up.
They are trending up a lot.
The basketball team is going the opposite direction.
Yeah.
We are out of time here on Sports Saturday. Of course, you can find cancellations online at WSMIRadio.com. Thanks to Steve Kimbrough, Drew Logan, Joe Allstadt for joining us here this morning on Sports Saturday. Be safe out there. This is your 50,000-watt voice of Mid-Illinois, WQSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville, the station you can count on.